This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, another look at the issue of wolf hunting in Michigan. But first, we discuss what Friday's federal appeals court decision upholding Michigan's ban on same-sex marriage and last week's election means for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. Emily Diefendorf is director of the gay rights advocacy group, Equality Michigan. Emily Diefendorf, thank you very much for being with us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So when you heard about Friday's appeals court ruling, what was your reaction? What do you think it means for the issue of gay marriage going forward in Michigan?
Friday's decision certainly was a disappointment. We were understandably upset about the decision and that we don't like to see the court hand it back to the states, because we do feel that the federal court has a responsibility to stand up for the people, and especially the underserved people and those that are vulnerable and who are targeted for discrimination because they are in the minority, because often they are the ones who are underserved and underrepresented by the democratic process already. They are unlikely to be defended by the democratic process and those in leadership in the democratic process. So to hand it back to the democratic process, which was the decision was that it was not the most appropriate route for the courts to handle marriage equality, that they felt it was most appropriate for the democratic process to sort through marriage equality in each state at whatever pace the democratic process would approach marriage equality. So essentially, whatever the social political climate was in the state, that the people and that the government in the states would handle it in those states appropriately, and that just go with the natural evolution, the natural flow of society and of history. And we feel that's not how it happens in history when a population is targeted for discrimination, that there comes a point when the courts have to act, because the courts tend to be the ones that have to take the lead on what is moral and what is just, because the majority and our democratic process doesn't tend to set the standard when it comes to doing the right thing for the minority. So we were disappointed. However, it does give us the opportunity to go directly now to the U.S. Supreme Court, and that is what we intend to do.
If the Supreme Court ruling were to come back in such a way that it does not overturn Michigan's ban on gay marriage, do you think it is time for a petition drive to try and change Michigan's constitution?
That is an excellent question. We do know that if there is an appeal filed to the U.S. Supreme Court soon, and when I say soon, I mean by January of 2015, that it is likely that we may know something by June of 2015. So we, pretty soon here, that's before the end of this U.S. Supreme Court session, may have a resolution to this question of marriage equality for the nation. So we would like to see if we have a solution to the question of marriage equality in the states, including Michigan and those other states, by June of 2015. However, of course, if there is not an answer to that question, if the U.S. Supreme Court comes back without an answer to that question, then we will continue to pursue getting marriage equality in Michigan through every route that we possibly can. And we've always said that if that means going to the ballot, then that is one of the routes that we will pursue. We've been working on laying that foundation, and we certainly know how to go to the ballot, and we will wait to see if the U.S. Supreme Court is going to be willing to give that resolution to us. They've certainly given indications that they are leaning that way, and we do believe that that's what they would probably do, that they would rule in our favor, but if they don't, then we are absolutely willing to go to the ballot.
In 2004, the ban on same-sex marriage was approved by a pretty healthy margin. How confident are you that the election results would be different this time around if there were to be another ballot initiative and another question on the ballot about gay marriage in Michigan?
We are absolutely confident that we would win full marriage equality if we were to put it on the ballot again. And that's because the polling on marriage equality has shifted 180 degrees since 2004, when the ban against same-sex marriage in Michigan was put into place. In 2004, it is true that the majority of Michiganders polled in favor of a ban against same-sex marriage. So those who went to the polls to put the ban in place were on the same page as most Michiganders. Most Michiganders were wanting a ban on same-sex marriage. However, now the majority of Michiganders poll in favor of repealing that ban. They also poll in favor of putting into place full marriage equality. So they, at this point, feel they made a mistake. 10 years later, just 10 years later, and that's really pretty quick. They feel like they made a mistake when they put that ban into place, and they both want to repeal that ban and put into place, replace it with full marriage equality. And that is stunning, but also not surprising, because at this point in history, just about everybody knows somebody who is lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. And that is something that has happened very quickly. The LGBT community is much more visible, and we all know somebody that we love and that we care about or that we work with, and we have a stake in protecting them and making sure that they are happy and have access to stability. And now we want to see fairness happen in our state.
In last week's election, there were two openly gay members elected to the state house. That includes John Hoadley for the district, which includes the city of Kalamazoo. What does that mean for the issues that you're trying to pursue going forward, that there are now two openly gay members of the House, where there had not been an openly gay member of the legislature since 2007?
Yes. And formerly it had been Chris Cole. And now we have John Hoadley out of Kalamazoo, and we have Jeremy Moss out of Southfield. And, you know, I have to acknowledge that both are friends of mine. And John Hoadley, you are so lucky to have him, because he is brilliant and has an incredible amount of energy and a great dedication to Kalamazoo. So that is my endorsement as a friend. But aside from just the incredible people that you have coming to the legislature, it means a great deal to the progress of equality issues to have out LGBT people in office for a couple of reasons. When you have out legislators in office, it actually speeds the progress of equality issues, because you have other legislators who are getting to know LGBT people. And studies have shown when you get to know LGBT people, you feel an accountability to LGBT people. You have to see them across the room from you when you're voting, and you're less likely to vote against LGBT people when those issues come up, because you know exactly what damage you're doing. You're also more likely to vote for issues that will help LGBT people, because you know what is at stake. And you also have LGBT people in office who are able to represent the needs and to speak on exactly what it is that needs to be done for LGBT people, of course, the representation that John Hoadley and Jeremy Moss will bring to the House of Representatives is the obvious benefit. But they have expertise in other areas, of course, but they also have the experience. They also bring the community, and those are invaluable. Those are invaluable, and studies show it speeds the progress of the possibility of equality for Michigan, just them being there and legislators knowing them.
There's been a lot of talk about amending the state's Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act and adding protections for sexual orientation and gender identity that may come up during the so-called lame duck session before the end of the year. What would changing that law mean for the LGBT community in Michigan?
And we do expect that it will likely be taken up. This is going to be a very fast few weeks that we see coming up here at the end of November, the beginning of December. We have put a lot of work in the last couple of years. Actually, we've been trying to amend the State Civil Rights Act for 30 years. We've had the amendment to include sexual orientation, gender identity, and expression introduced for 30 years now. And we have been recruiting businesses to support and faith leaders and Republicans really actively for the last few years, especially. And it looks like there is a really good chance that it will pass by the end of this year. And if that happens, we will finally see LGBT people protected from discrimination in employment, housing, and public services. And that's important because right now it is absolutely legal for a gay person or a transgender person to be fired from their job in Michigan for no reason except that they are gay or that their gender identity and expression doesn't fit what their employer would like it to fit. They need no other reason to fire you. You can be absolutely excellent at your job. Your job performance does not factor into it. They can fire you just for that fact or how they perceive your sexual orientation to be or your gender identity or expression. And that does happen. At Equality Michigan, we are a victim services agency. We do work on a number of discrimination cases, and employment discrimination cases are a number of those cases. It does happen. So we do need to see this amendment pass, and we need to see gender identity and expression a part of that amendment. There is talk right now about it passing with just sexual orientation, and that is something that if it is brought up during lame duck with just sexual orientation and not gender identity and expression as part of the amendment, then the entire LGBT movement will pull out of support for that. So I think people should be on the lookout for that. This is a very important move. We've been working on it for a long time. This initiative is essential to the protection of the LGBTQ community. But if it ends up being proposed by Republicans without protection for gender identity and gender expression, which would protect gender nonconforming people or the transgender community, the entire LGBTQ community will pull support because the community that is most affected by discrimination is the transgender community in all of those areas, discrimination and employment, housing, and public services. And we will not move forward on this legislation unless that is included in the amendment.
There have been some lawmakers who say that they want to add protections against discrimination, but they want that balanced with religious liberty. Do you see that as realistic, or do you think that if discrimination comes in conflict with someone's religious beliefs that you've got to pick a side?
Well, that is an interesting argument. I don't see validity in that argument in that we already have a U.S. Constitution that protects that. We absolutely believe that everybody's religious liberties should be protected. There is no arguing against that. And we want to make sure that everybody's religious freedoms are protected. Our argument is that their religious freedoms are protected. And through the U.S. Constitution, there is a direct route challenging any infringement on religious freedoms, and that is to go directly through the courts. Now, there may be a way to restate that, and we're exploring ways to restate that. If there needs to be something written that says specifically this is what the law says, perhaps we may need to explore that. We don't know. So we're going to see what comes up as we're talking about it, but we really don't support a religious exemption in any civil rights law. Under Elliot Larson, there are protections for religious views. You can't be fired for any religious rights or religious freedoms, religious beliefs. There are already protections written into Elliot Larson for religion. And under the Constitution, you already have the right to have autonomy based on your religious freedoms. So regardless of anything, churches will still be able to have their own decisions about their hiring practices and such, and religious schools. We can't impact that. So a lot of these arguments that we hear about religious freedoms being infringed upon because of us wanting to add these protections for LGBT people into the Civil Rights Act, they are red herrings. They don't apply. We already have those protections, and they're just said to scare people away from protecting LGBT people because we do already have those in place.
In August, a hate crimes awareness coalition was formed in Kalamazoo. That was after a lesbian couple's house was vandalized. Can you give us an idea of how big a problem hate crimes of that magnitude are across the state?
Yes, a much bigger problem than the average person would assume. I think that the average Michigander feels safe walking down the street, feels safe going into their house, feels safe holding hands in public. And the average LGBT citizen does not, which is also why things like Pride festivals are such a relief to the LGBTQ community. I think a lot of people think of them as festivals or parties to the LGBTQ community. And we think of those things as safe spaces because they are one of the few places and times where we feel safe being able to hold our partner's hands. Because otherwise, throughout the year, it does not feel safe to be walking down the street holding our partner's hands because we don't know how the people that we're walking by will react, because it is not an unusual thing to be threatened. And whether that's verbal, whether that's something actually happening to us, it is not an unusual thing to get a aggressive reaction from a stranger still in this day and age, regardless of whether the public polls in favor of our freedom and fairness or not. It is a regular reaction still to the LGBTQ community to have aggression and hostility expressed towards us. And it is something that we see at Equality Michigan, particularly regularly. It is especially violence towards the transgender community, towards trans women of color, especially in very high numbers. We see incidences of violence, and it's something that needs to be acknowledged and combated.
Emily Diefendorf, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Our interview with Michigan Equality Director Emily Diefendorf was recorded on Tuesday. Yesterday, House Republicans announced they will introduce bills to expand the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act to include protections for sexual orientation, but not gender identity. Equality Michigan issued a statement calling the proposal inadequate and said lawmakers should reject it.